Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yud Tes. We left off at the Mishnah towards the top of the page. Yud Tes, but Aleph. Sorry for the late start. Zok to Mishnah. Bakul Kaisvin. You could write a get them. The whole focus of the daf is going to be what you could use to write a get, what inks, what parchments could be used for writing a get, what you could write it on. The Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss a lot of it's going to be Chazar, what we had earlier back in Daf Tes, about when people are unable to write or to read a get, could they still be, to sign their names, could they still be utilized as edim on a get? That'll be a nice chazara from we had back at the test. So again, bakol kaisvim, you can write a get with any type of ink, we'll call it, but yoy is a classic black ink. The Gemara doesn't explain these items, but really the Gemara's explanations also need explanations. But yoy is a classic black ink, basam is a, they touch it as paint, basikra is a red dye, bakumas, gum, bakakantam, copper sulfate, uvacholdo vashiru shakayama, and anything which is of kayama, anything that's lasting can be used to for the ink in writing a get. Interestingly, the Mordechai says, based on this Lashon Mishnah, that anything which is davashel kayama, so Mordechai says, a husband should not have a get written or write a get himself and hand it to his wife while the ink is still wet. Why? Because when the ink is still wet, you can still erase it, smudge it, erase it, and that it's not yet called a ksiva shel kayama, which is interesting. I could have heard that since once it dries, it's going to be fine. It's conceptually, it's already ksiva shel kayama. Mordechai is saying, no, that since kol's mat, it's wet, it still can be altered, it can be destroyed, it hasn't settled yet. That's not called considered a ksiva shel kayama yet, and therefore one should not give it to their wife. Interesting chiddush of the Mordechai. Mechas Chinuch, based on this concept, based on the same idea, discusses that l'gabei Shabbos. The Gemara is going to make some clear connections to Shabbos. The Gemara is going to make already these connections. But Mechas Chinuch discusses on this idea of the Mordechai. So what happens if one writes on Shabbos? Right, we know the ksiva is one of the 39 malachas. Is he over the second he writes? Or is he only over once it dries? Like just like we're saying that it's only considered a ksav shel kayama. Once it's dry already, and husband should only give it to the wife. Once it's dry, maybe the gabbai Shabbos also it's only chayav once it's dry. Now practically say big deal. What's nafkmina? What's the difference? The difference would be, first of all, let's say he gets erased before it dries. If he writes that it gets erased before it dries, if he says chayav for the writing, he's already chayav. If it's only chayav if it dries, then he wouldn't be chayav. Furthermore, what if he writes close to the end of Shabbos? He writes it close to the end of Shabbos where the writing takes place on Shabbos, but the drawing will not take place on Shabbos. It's only going to dry after Shabbos. Is he going to be chayav for ksiva on Shabbos? The act of ksiva was done on Shabbos, but the shame ksiva, according to the Mordechai is learning, it's not called the ksiva shel kayama until it's dry. The shame ksiva is only setting in after Shabbos. This sounds familiar. I'm sure the Eilam remembers we discussed in the past. Similar ideas. Legabi, the malacha of bishul, and the malacha of zerei, of planting, right? You plant the seeds on Shabbos, but till it takes root, till it grows, could be days later. And you actually could still pull out the seed, even after you drop it in, you could pull it out and stop the planting. So you did the act, your act was finished, but the pula, the outcome doesn't really happen till later. Again, you put the pot on the fire. If you leave as is, it'll cook within the next 2 hours. But right now, it's not cooked yet. He put it on the pot on the fire on Shabbos, but the cooking is only taking place after Shabbos. That's also a big discussion in the Mechas as well, which, according to, based on this idea of the Mordechai, he's relating it to Ksiva now also, that a malacha that you finished your act already on Shabbos, but the malacha is not finished after Shabbos. What's the gedder legabe the chiyuv? When do we say that you need the malacha to be finished to be chayav Shabbos? And when do you say that since your act is finished, it's not to be chayav Shabbos? That also relates to this conversation. Again, if you go without this idea of the Mordechai, once you wrote it, it's already ksav shekema. Happens to be, you could destroy it. Just like you could scratch off letters that already were dried. Parchment, you know, the ink that dried, you could scratch off. And that wouldn't be a stira to call it ksav shekema. That could be the alternative tzad, not like the Mordechai. But going with the Mordechai, we have this geshmak eklar in the Michas Chinuch. Okay.
But it'll be enough to minute if you remember after you wrote it, you should erase it.
Right, similar idea. Right, they say the same by Shabbos. And that's the classic, one of the classic, it came up in the, it was related to that from a couple of days ago, and we didn't speak it out, I'm not sure if I forgot to, I just didn't have time, but there's a discussion about doing an Avera in order to save someone else from we'll call it a big Avera. Right? You're not allowed to save yourself someone's money. That was one discussion. Well, but what about doing an aveira to save someone else? So for example, a classic case of that is, if someone puts in a raw loaf of bread, into the oven on Shabbos to bake, and another guy wants to taking it out will save him from the being oven malacha, because if you take it out before it bakes, it's not baked. But redias apas it's a chachma, it's not a malacha, it's chachma, Shabbos Av Gimel, right? Over there, it's patla vasa, it's Isra Rabbanan. So could he be over Isra Rabbanan in order that his friend should be over Isra Raisa? That's a similar idea to what you're bringing up, similar concept. And Rami says the Mishnah further. In Kaisvin, we cannot use for writing, we just gave a list of what you can use. What you cannot use is Lib Mashkim, not with liquids, Lib Meperis, not with fruit juice, not with anything, which is Amoskai. Again, the Marzen explained what the ribui of Davar Shushakama and Davar She'enim Eskayim are in the Mishnah. Al-Kol Kaisim, you're allowed to write upon anything. Al-Olo Shazayas, on a detached leaf from an olive tree. Okay, and some explain the chiddush that is, the chiddush of the detached leaf of an olive tree is that even though it's not necessarily something that endures, it could dry out eventually, it won't last for so long, still that's good enough. It's still considered good enough right now. It's here, right now you're writing on it, and it's noticeable, it's nikir the ksav, that's fine. That is a chiddush. Again, with regard to Shabbos now, the Mefarshim want to speak out that same idea, that since it's not enduring, it's not shakayama, so even though we're saying the gavi get, perhaps it would be good, because the ksav is shakayama, but the parchment may wither, but the gavi Shabbos, it would not be in the category of meleches machsheves. Remember, big aside that we spoke about in Shabbos is that in order to be over melecha, it's got to be meleches machsheves, which has a couple of meanings to it. Machsheves means has to be with intent, it has to be proper intent, it can't be that it was unintended. And number two is, has to be a malacha that's chashiv. A malacha that's not chashiv is not going to be a malacha that's destructive, a malacha that's not considered to be purposeful, that's not considered a malacha, so to something which is not going to last and it's going to wither, like this Allah Shazayas would not be necessarily Chayim and Shabbos, even though we're saying it would be good for a, according to this Mishnah, it would be good for a get. Next, Val Karen Shapara, the horn of a cow, the nice less para, so you could write again on the horn of a cow, and the husband gives the wife the cow. The al yachel evan on the hand of an evan, and the nice as evan, and he gives the wife the slave. Or basically, leimer ein kaisvin leal davar. That's by the way the case that came up earlier about giving with slaves, where there's the iser of leilim, there's a mitzvah say leilim tavaydu. You're not allowed to free the slave, but in certain scenarios where it may be better, we say there's a mitzvah even, and certainly wasn't allowed to free a slave to either mitzvah the rabbim shiny or a gray mitzvah is different. Okay, but that's a case where in order to affect a mitzvah, we allow being over for transgressing, so to speak, or for pushing aside an Israel saying. V'neislas Evan, in this case, he's giving her a get. He's not freeing the Evan, he's giving her the Evan. Okay. En kaisvin loy davar shesh barua, loy al davar shesh barua chayim. So basically argues and says that no, the case of Eved, or the case of Ola Shazayas, apparently he's considering the leaf of the olive tree also is considered food. So side by Eved, who is alive, side by Ola Shazayas, which is a food, you cannot already get, he's as a miyat to exclude food or live things. Gemara is going to explain what the reasoning behind Rebasi is. So like the Gemara. Diyai, what's Diyai? Diyaisa, that's the classic black ink that you put on parchment. Sam is a paint. It's like some sort of yellow colored paint. Sikra Amar Barchana, that is Sikarta Shema. That's also known as Sikarta. That's the red paint that we discussed. When you have the 10 animals that go Tachas Hashavet, the 10th one, you put like a red pigment on it. That's referred to as Sikra. Kumas refers to gum. It's something that's used. This gum is used in the making of ink. Kankantam is copper sulfate. Amar Bachana, Amar Shmuel, Charta Shulchi. Some also call that the shoemaker's blackening. It's also known as the shoemaker's blackening. These are all different forms of ink that we're saying are kosher. They're ink that are miskayim. They're kosher to be used for a get. The Mishnah adds, the Mishnah says, and anything which is miskayim is good. What's that coming to include? You gave a whole list. What's that last line coming to include? If you used, this is machlekes exactly what metar is. Some say it's rainwater. Metar is like a rainwater that because the dirt in the rainwater gives like a, it becomes like an ink. It makes like a stain. Sometimes it actually doesn't come out. Sometimes some certain dirts make a strong stain. It's difficult to get out of clothing. That's like a, it becomes like an ink. Others say metar, afatza is typically taish just gallnut juice. Afatza taish is gallnut juice. We could come up a few more times in this daf today. So others teach that metaria is also some sort of fruit juice. It doesn't mean specifically it's not rainwater. Rather, it's more of some sort of a juice that a fruit had been soaking in that water, and it gave a little bit of color. That's how others learn. Okay, so the Mishnah coming to include, again, the Mishnah says clearly that may Paris is no good, but apparently this, right, this the Gemara is adding now in the Kol Davar Shem Eskayim, some sort of fruit steeped juice where the liquid, where the coloring is miskayim, and therefore that would be included in the Mishnah. If he uses lead, that's some sort of lead mixture, v'shcher v'shicher, some charcoal or some blackening by the shoemaker's kosher, those are all also considered valid inks for ksivas haget. Itmar. If one writes diyoy over sikra b'shabbos, so you have letters written in sikra in this red paint, and you cover it over with diyoy with the black ink on Shabbos. The black ink is considered a stronger, better ink. So, says the Rebbeinu Rabbi Shlakish Amri Tavayu Chayev Shtayim. He's actually over two averes on Shabbos. Unbelievable. The word was already written. The letter was already written. He simply traced over the same letters. Instead of being red, he's made it now black. He's Chayev twice. You know why? Achas Mishum Kesev, Achas Mishum Meichik. Unbelievable. He's Chayev for erasing the original writing and for the new writing. It's all one act. But it's one act of getting rid of the red letters and now exchanging it for black letters. That act is actually two malachas. It's meichik and it's kesef. We know that meichik, in general, malachas Shabbos, we pointed out a moment ago, with malachas Shabbos, that malachas Shabbos won't only chayev if they're constructive. If they're destructive, then it's not chayev. So mechika, erasing stamazek, could be considered a destructive act. You're destroying words that were there. Similar to being seiser binyan. Breaking down a binyan is considered tearing. Those all destructive acts. Unless they're being done for the purpose of something constructive. So kareya amanas litfer. Sometimes in order to sew something better, you have to, the tailor has to tear it to line up the baguette properly and then re-sew it. So it would be a nicer sewing. It would be a nicer way of fixing the tear. Or you're breaking down something to build something else better in its place. Something else you want to build in its place. That's considered a stira, which is constructive. It's a constructive destroying. So here too, mechika also, mechika wants chayav when it's a mechika in order to write. Well, this is Mamishar case. He's writing over the red letters with black. Is both has, it checks both boxes. Unfortunately, it's a form of mechika of the red letters, and it's constructive, and therefore he's chayav, and he's also chayav for the writing of the black letters. But again, the point is that because the black is considered superior to the red, we'll see in a moment what's going to be if it was opposite. Says the more further, what if it was black on top of black? What if it was the red on top of the red? That's putter. That's putter, both according to Beichran and Rish Lakish, because again, you didn't do anything. You didn't erase anything. You didn't write anything. You didn't do anything. Sikra, agabi sik, what if it's red on top of black? So then we have Amila Chayev. Some say he's Chayev, Vamila Pater. And some say he's Pater. The more elaborates. Amila Chayev, some say he's Chayev, Meichiku. He's Chayev for Mechika. Because the bottom line is, he did erase the two letters underneath the two black letters that existed, now became red, so he did erase them. However, Rashi points out, he's only Chayev one. He's only Chayev for Mechika. He wouldn't be Chayev for Kesev. Why not, says Rashi? For like Kesev, Shemetkila Yekasev, Hagan Meata. Rashi says, because it was a better Kesev until now. How could you be Chayev Malacha for replacing something good with something worse? That's not a malacha. You had a better ksiva, and you replaced it with a shvach ksiva, the chayav that would simply fit into malachas machsheves. It's not malachas machsheves. You're not doing a constructive act if you're making it not as good as it was. But interesting, there's still, even according to that side, still mechika. You had black, and you change it to red, you'll make it the black. Even though it's saying it's not so constructive to give you a chayav for the ksiva, it's still enough mechika. A little bit of a funny explanation. I don't say, I'm not asking Rashi, but a funny scenario that was coming out that it's enough for Mechika, not enough for Ksiva. Again, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. So that's just Rashi. You could read the Gemara, Yechayev, because it's Mechiku, and what's Mechiku is also Kesev. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just Mechiku, and Rashi is clearly, it means Dafka Mechiku, not Kesev. I'm a Patan, others say it's Patan Bechlal, because like you said before, Mekalkalu, if the black is superior to the red, the whole thing is just a Kilkul. There's no, it's not considered beneficial at all, and therefore, he's going to be totally putter. Putter, of course, is putter, avasser, but he will be putter. It's interesting. Rashi learns, like we just pointed out, that you only chayev for the meichik. You're chayev for the meichik, but you're, sorry. The Rambam's going to argue, but it's on the next Gemara. Rambam's going to argue, but it's on the next Gemara. Wait, two lines. We'll get back to it. Says Gemara. Boi minei Rish Lakish Bar Beichran. Eidim she'ein yoidim lachtim. Edim that don't know how to sign their names. We've had this idea earlier in the Masechta, but here it's going to be relevant to what we just discussed in this discussion with Rabbi Yechon Mishalkish Amir Tavayu. We'll see. Edim that don't know how to sign their names, Mao Shechtu Lem B'Sikra. Are you able to write it for them in Sikra? You write for them in this red, we'll call it inferior, as compared to Diyai, inferior writing. And they will go, V'yachtimu, and they'll go sign on top of it, B'Diyai. Gemara didn't spell it out for us, but it means they'll sign on top, B'Diyai. Ksav Elyon Ksav Ein Ksav. The Shaila is, do you consider the upper Ksav a Ksav or not? That's the Shaila. And if it's called Ksav, then the Edom assigning the names. If not, not. Amalai Ein Ksav. So Rabbi Yechanan was asked this question by Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechanan answered Rish Lakish, it's not called a Ksav. That's not called a Ksav. Diyai on top of Sikra is not a Ksav. Amalai Mish Lakish says, we quoted, but Rish Lakish learned it from his Rebbe, who ultimately became his Chaver, his Chavrusa, and his brother-in-law. But Rish Lakish says that Valei Lamentenu, Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you taught us Ksav Elyon, Ksav Leni Shabbos. You said the Gabi Shabbos, you are Chayev for Diyai on top of Sikra. You Chayev Shayev for Mechika and for Ksiva. Why by Gedi saying not? Amalai, V'chim Ibnesha, Anu, Medamin, Nasa Maisa. Because we're Medamin. Medamin means because we think that's the case. We're, you know, it's Kimadumali. It appears to be that's the case to us. Because we think that's the case. When we said Chayev on Shabbos, Chayev Shtayim, we meant that it would appear the Chayev Shtayim. But it's not a foolproof to go and allow to use it for get. No, so far we're not going to say. Which comes out that when we said Chayev Shtayim, we don't mean that you mamish chayv shtayim. What we mean is, look, I'll jump into Rashi, Nasa Maisa. Lahakel, Afilin Shabbos, and Bamaisa Yadenu, Bezman of Mikdash, Lai Sisemach Adavari, Levichul Nazara. Even the Gabi Shabbos, forget about the Gabi Get, even the Gabi Shabbos, when I said chayv shtayim, I didn't mean chayv shtayim if it was Meheri Banabes Mikdash right now, and they'd ask me a Shaila, I'd say, go bring two Kabbarnas, being one for Mechika, one for Ksivus. Even though we said chayv shtayim, it didn't mean chayv shtayim. It meant that a person should be careful because you're potentially chayv shtayim. Interesting. You're potentially chayv for Ksiva and for Mechika. But not the Imam is chayv shtayim to the extent that you'd bring a carbon, we'd possibly make a carbon if the Beis Midrash was around, and so too by get, therefore we're not, nothing I can say that it works. That is how Rashi learns the Lashon of Kimidama Nasa Maisa. Medama li Nasa Maisa, I mean, it's just it seems like Mechayev Shtayim, but not in reality. Rambam argues, Rambam simple Lashon, simple reading of Rambam in Yad is that a person who writes Diyoya Gabi Sikra, black ink on top of red ink on Shabbos, is Chayev Shtayim. Now, if Rambam brings it, you could say the Gemara, you could say Chayev Shtayim, you know, we're teaching, Rabbi Yechon himself says over here, a Lashon of Medama, that's not, maybe not real. But Rambam is being Yad Chazaka, means he learns it is real. Rambam is learning that it means 100% Yechayev Shtayim. So Mechasin explains, and he asks the Kash, the obvious question, so then what's our Gemara saying? What's the Bechon answer, Shlakish? That you're not really Chayev Shtayim, you are Chayev Shtayim, according to Rambam. So Mechasin explains that what he just means is that even though the Gabi Shabbos, we're pretty confident in Chayv Shtayim, but Get has long-term ramifications of Mamzeris, of Ishus, of Eshes Ish. We don't want to make sure it's for sure good. We're not going to rely on this to say it's good yet. Even though we're willing to say, confidently enough, that it's Chayv Shtayim, and you would bring a carbon. You would be a carbon. We wouldn't be so concerned about Chul Mazara, because the long-term ramifications of that are not as dramatic, and we also were pretty confident we're correct. So we're confident we're correct, plus it doesn't have the same type of ramifications, so we'd say it's okay. But it's not enough to say it's okay by get. That's how Mechas Chinuch explains it. Rambam, very interesting, that we're going to make a chiluk lamaisa on a Torah level because of our, you know, not being 100%, we make a chiluk between Shabbos and between get. Okay, but Rashi again learns, no, even the Gabe Shabbos, we would never say chayev, a carbon chul mazara, lamaisa in such a case. Fine. It's better. Edim she'en yedim lichtayim. Again, edim that don't know how to sign a get. Rav Amar Karan Lam Niyar Cholik, if this sounds familiar, it should. We had this on Daf Tes. Rav says, you tear up on a paper, you take a blank piece of paper, and you tear it for them in a way that they can see how to sign their names. And they fill in with ink the trace of their names. And that works. So that's Eitz number one. If you remember, we explained back at the fast ready, same as like as we have here, Rashi Taisvus, what exactly means Makar Lam Niyar. Doesn't mean you kind of engrave into the parchment, into the paper. You engrave the letters of their name and they simply have to trace over it. Or do you use like a silk screen, like a stencil? Or do you take one paper and cut out the form of the letters on that paper? And then these Eidim that don't know how to sign the name will put that paper above the where they need to sign. And now they can just fill in the actual empty space, which is the simple reading of this of the Makrin Lam Niyar, sounds like you're actually tearing the paper. Again, according to Rashi, Rashi learns you're etching it into the original, the lower paper, you're etching it in. Taisus learns that no, you're making like a stencil and you're tearing out on another paper as a form. By the way, we're saying that Rav holds that this form of tracing, stenciling, does work for Edom. And they fill in the blanks with ink, and that's fine. Shmuel Amar Bavar, that we write it out for them in Avar and lead, and they trace over the lead. So lead is not considered writing. We trace over with black ink, and then it's good. What's the obvious taina? We had it just a couple lines up. We had Vatanya B'chir Torah Nevaisa. Kasvei Ba'avar, he added on to the things of the mission that were considered good, because you forget. Avar and lead was one of them. Lead, Shchar V'shikhar, Meshicher, charcoal, and or the shoemaker's blackening, all those are kasher, are considered a good ksiv forget. So if that's called a good ksiv forget, how can we write ba'avar the names of the edim and have them trace over it? It's already considered written, their names. Answer the kasha ba'avra, ha'mayid avra. There's a fundamental difference if it's lead, pure lead, or lead that was soaked in some liquid. Lead and liquid becomes like an ink. And that's okay. That in the Chami, that's the case we're saying it's good forget. And over there, if you write the Adam's signatures with that lead in liquid, and then they trace over, wouldn't it be good? Because you already wrote the Adam's name, and they're not adding anything. But if you just put it in a dry avar, you scrape a dry avar on a paper, it does give a ratium. It does give a little bit of a map for the Adam to sign their names, but it's not considered a real ksiva. It's not going to last. It could just fall right off. It's like powder, it'll fall right off. And therefore, the Adam signing the names with proper ink afterwards would be a valid signature. Eitz number three. So eitz number one was make like a stencil. Eitz number two was avar lead. Eitz number three, bevo amar b'mei milin. Use golnut juice. You write their names, the Adam's names, but you do it with golnut juice, which is the Gemara is assuming right now that golnut juice is not considered a writing, and therefore the Adam who don't know how to sign the name could sign on top of this golnut juice signature. They can sign on top of it, and that's going to be fine because their signature will be the only real writing. Ask the Gemara again. Fatani, we learned right next to that before from Chia, we learned from Chanina. Fatani Meitaria, we'll call that with the rainwater, or Vafatza with the Gona juice. Kasha, that's also considered Ksiva. So it is a Ksiva. How could the Adam signing on top of that be considered Ksiva as well? Like Asha, the Afitz, the Chayyah, there could have been a simple answer that Diyaya on top of all these things is a real writing. Just like we had earlier, Diyaya on top of Sikra is called a writing because compared to Sikra, Diyaya is a stark writing. So to hear, the Chayyah, we could have said that Diyaya on top of the Adam sign with Diyai, and Diyai on top of all these things is a much stronger writing, and therefore still good. Gemara does not choose to answer that. Okay, says the Gemara, the Kasha Adafetz, how the Adafetz depends if the parchment, if the paper was treated with golnut juice. When a paper is treated with golnut juice, then, interestingly enough, using golnut juice ink is not called a writing because it's too similar to the treatment that the parchment already had, and therefore it's not a writing, and that's what we're saying, do that for the Adam, and the Adam will sign the name on top of that, and that's fine. When we said before that golnut juice works as a signature, that's where the parchment was not treated with golnut juice, and therefore, over there, golnut juice would be a proper writing, says the Gemara, shei milim, agabe milim, because golnut juice on top of golnut juice, that's really not going to work. The first one discussed is obvious, kasha, it's going to come up again later on this Amun itself, this idea of, in order to make sure a paper is not proper, is not able to be mezuyif, not able to be forged, they used to treat it with golnut juice. You need it to be treated, and the more even asks as a taina, the shtar of a guy is not treated with golnut juice, therefore it's not good. The Mara says, no, the case is, coming up in a few lines, Chazar, from Daftes, the Mara says, no, we're talking about Bidavtsam, where it's treated with golnut juice. Over here, we're giving an answer, then when do we say golnut juice is good for signatures? Where it wasn't treated with golnut juice. Where it was, it's not going to no good. But you tell me where it wasn't treated with golnut juice, the golnut juice is good for the ink itself, but that means the paper itself should be puzzle anyway, because it's a parchment which can be mezuyif. There has to be other, well, obviously talking about case where there's other methods, other ways to make sure that it's not able to be mezuyif. Otherwise, you'd still be stuck with that issue. Rav Papa Amar, a fourth Eitza. Bereik, you know what you do for the Eidim to be able to trace the signatures? You do with spit. Spit is certainly not considered a writing, but it could be enough to create use spit to create an outline, and they write over with ink over that spit, and that works. The Rav Papa gave a psak to Rav Papa, the one who sold cows. Bereik, use the first writing with spittle, and then right on top of that with ink, and that's fine. Vani Mili, the Gemara just says, all these eights we just gave, helping eights that don't really know how to sign their name, giving them ability to be able to sign their name, is only eights that we give. Where? Begitin. Dafka Begitin. So ironically enough, before we had a tzad, according to Rambam, the guy Beshabbos, we're more fast to say that you're chayev from malacha, it's called a real ksiva. The guy began, it's not a ksiva, because it's getting scary stuff, it's not a ksiva. Here we're being more lenient. It's always the two sides. There's the chumrah of Eish Yisish, there's the chumrah of Mamzeris, but there's also the issue, of course, of Egun, of Agunas. We want to protect from Agunas. So here we're going with the other side. Fani Mila Begitin, Avasharis, like this that we allow by all these different methods of training the Eidim to be able to sign, or aiding them to be able to sign, is not going to be used for Gittin, not by Ishtaris. The Uda of the Bishtar Sharis, but not Ghana. Someone used one of these manners of getting Eidim to sign by a monetary Ishtar, not by Ishtar of Get, of divorce, and of Ghana gave him Malkus for using such Eidim. Tanya Kavase, top of Ambeis, Tanya Kavase to Rav. We have a Brisa that's a Raya to Rav. Eidim Sheini Yadim Lachtaim, Eidim that don't know how to sign the names, Marka Amir Cholak. You tear up for them. Again, this is the Gemara we have in Daftes. You tear up for them on your chalak. Again, either it means you etch it into the paper, you carve it into the paper, their names, and then they sign on top of it. That's Rashi. Or Tanya says you actually make like a silk screen, like a stencil. And they fill in the empty space with ink. Where does the word dafka gitin hashem? Avshikur avadim ushakosharis em yedin likros lachtem chesmen v'mav in chesmen. Shmuel says that this all works by gitin, but by any other stars, any other monetary stars, if they even know how to read, which we haven't mentioned, if they know how to read and sign, then great, then they can sign. If not, they can't sign. Ask about kriyat kashami. Who spoke about kriya? Meaning. It's understandable what Shmuel is saying, that they can't read themselves, they can't sign. We understand that he's giving such an opinion, but the Tanakhama never mentioned that. Tanakhama just says, if they can't sign, then you can etch it out for them and let them sign in the etching. And Shmuel says, no, it doesn't work. Why did he stick in it something about reading? Tanakhama never mentioned it. Says Gemara, Shemechstra, the Braisa is missing, and here's we have to read the Braisa of Achtani. Eidim Shemechstra, Likrais, Eidim don't know how to read. Kern of name Chaisman. Eidim don't know how to read, you read in front of them, and then they sign. They can't read the document, you read in front of them the document, and then they sign it. And if they don't know how, that's that. Now we spoke about reading. If they don't know how to sign, the rest is still the same. Then the Tanakhama says, you etch it out for them and let them sign. And Shmuel says, sign if they can't read. Sign if they can't sign. They don't know how to sign. Then they cannot be Eidim and Ashtar. Amr Shem Umil, Bamed Ramurim, Begitin Hashem. This that we say does work is not Begitin Hashem. But Avashukra, Avadim, Shakur Shars, when it comes to any other stars, if they know how to read and write, then they can sign. But if they don't know how to read and write, then they cannot sign. Why is he saying that we allow this, that it works for a signature by Gittin and nowhere else? Because by Gittin we're concerned that the husband's around, he's able to give a get right now, and if we don't do the get in this fashion with these aid that we have in front of us, husband may leave town, we may not be able to get him for a get, and maybe she'll be stuck as an aguna. So we're makel al tziguna to allow such aid of signatures, but by regular stars, regular monetary transactions, we're not going to be so lenient. There's a bomb cash that we asked back in the test, Taisus asked it, that was saying that if they don't know how to read, someone reads in front of them, and then they could sign it. Someone reads in front of them, and then they could sign it. So, Taisa back in the test is bothered. The obvious kasha, it should be a problem of aid mipiaid. Taisa test of Bayes asks, why is it not a concern of aid mipiaid? So, if I remember back then, we didn't really fully first day what the answer was. The kasha was very schmack, very simple to us. The answer was a little schwer. But Taisa's lashon is, I'm going back to the test now. If they have aid mipiaid, she'd shriek in the head al ikra maisa. They don't have to testify about the Ikar Maisa. They don't have to testify about that which is written in the Shtar. So what? So they say they don't know it's written in the Shtar. Someone's reading for them. So my understanding of it is, what Taisa is saying is, that it's okay that they're saying Eibib Yed. Normally, Eid has to testify about what he saw. And when it's Eibib Yed itself is apostles. Here, you're able to say Eibib Yed, and that itself is good. You're able to say, this is what was written in front of me. This is what was read in front of me from this paper. Yes, and I signed it, since he could disclose it and say it was Eibib Yed, and that doesn't bother us, then Vayit Yitzchak, okay, for Shtar's purposes, it's still going to be fine. Something along those lines, again, don't fully understand it, that's Taisus. Other Farshim say, maybe this is what Taisus means, but other Farshim say, it's more simple. It's something which is absolutely skalis. It's clearly going to be known whether or not these people, when they read this to the Eidim, the Eidim signed it, if the Eidim want to find out if it's a lie, they'll bring someone else to read. Most people know how to read. Someone else can read it and determine whether it's a lie. Since it's Asla Skalis, it's considered really a Gilim Asbalma. These people reading in front of these Eidim that are signing it, they're just being Megala Milsa. It's not an EBP, it's not testimony. It's a Gilim Asbalma. It's just a revealing some clear fact to them. And once it's revealed, they can sign, and we're not concerned. That is the Malchav. Other Rishayim, the Rush, Taisa Rush. And the Rashba say, indeed, we're not talking about Eidim that are completely illiterate. If they cannot read at all, reading in front of them, having them sign, would be a problem. Eidim Beit Taka wouldn't work. It's talking about Eidim that could read. They're just not comfortable enough to read the whole Shtar themselves at their comprehension levels and their reading skills to be able to read it all themselves. But because they can read a bit, those who are reading it in front of them, those who are reading it for them, cannot play games and fool around because they know they're reading it to people that essentially know how to read, just weren't just so comfortable with reading, and therefore, we can be confident that those that are reading in front of them are reading it properly. They themselves know how to read. They can confirm that's exactly what was said once the fellow reads it for them, and therefore they could sign properly. That's okay. Ben Acham, if they couldn't read it at all, it would be a problem of Eimi Piyed. That's how the Tais Rush, we didn't mention this back in the test, that's the Tais Rush and the Rashba point out over here. Okay. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Halacha Shingo Meal, Halacha Shingo Meal. So it's machlokes when you pass kashrut meal that it doesn't work for shar shtaris, or we don't pass like him and it does work for shar shtaris. Ela kaman, ask Gemara on Rav Gavda. Are you saying halachas like the Rabbanan? Kaman like Rabbanan who hold that's the Tanakama that it works for shar shtaris. Vahu the avid of the shar shtaris. The Nagdir of Kana we add on the bottom of Amud Aleph. We add that someone else used these eitzes of having other people sign the help the eidim sign for shar shtaris, and Rav Kana gave malchus for it. We talk. See, there is a chiluk between get to the shar shtaris. Says Gemara. Tigma, a kriya. Rav Gamnu was saying dafka legabi the kriya legabi, meaning in the machlekes of Meshugam Mil and the Rabbanan in the Brisa, they had a machlekes say about writing. That was Rav's din. Say about Rav's din of writing the edim, tracing it for them, having them write on top of the tracing. Say about reading. Rav Kana's story was that they did a mice with Shar Shtaris, legabi the edim signing their names on something that was traced over, legabi that point, and Rav Kana gave Malkus. And Rav Gamda saying, we pass like the Chamim, we seem to have a stira, Chamim say it works, and Rav Gamda saying, Rav Kana is giving Malkus, and yet Rav Gamda is passing like Chamim, then it works. The answer is, Rav Kana gave Malkus for the edim signatures being traced over. But for reading it, he didn't give Malkus, and Rav Gamda is passing like the Chamim, legabi the reading. That the Edom could read on behalf, read the Shah on behalf of the others, could read on behalf of the Edom, and the Edom just signed it by themselves, and that still works. That we don't have. We don't find that Rav Kana gave Malkus for such a case. Rav Yehuda Mistar, Kari V'chasa. Rav Yehuda, he had difficult eyesight. He would force himself to read it, even though it was difficult for him, and then he would sign it. Ula said, you don't got to do that. Rav Blazer was the leader in Eretz Yisrael. They would read a Shtar in front of him, V'chasa. And he would sign it, even though he didn't, you know, pain himself to read himself. They would read for them, and he would sign it. Rav Nachman, Kerkame, Safi Dani, Vchasim. And similarly, Rav Nachman, the Safi Dani, the scribes, would read in front of him a document, and he would sign it. So we see that it's okay. You don't have to make yourself go through the tsar of reading difficult shtaris. You know, the handwriting may not be so clear, the person can be older. You don't have to make yourself crazy. Someone else can read it in front of you, and you could sign. We find that Aitza works. The Gemara gives a major qualification. Tafka Rav Nachman, Safi Dani. Tafka Rav Nachman, who was a big leader, who was Chashev, and Safi Dani, and people that were chashev to read, like Sefer Dani, who also had respect for Rav Nachman, so we can be confident that they're not going to alter any of the words that it says there. This lu emasa, because they have fear of Rav Nachman. Av Rav Nachman Safri Achrini, but Rav Nachman and some other Safri, not Sefer Dani, not these knowledgeable Seferim. Or Sefer Dani Vishachrini, or even these knowledgeable Dayanim. But someone else like Rav Nachman, like, we wouldn't allow them to read it, and the person who's listening to sign it, because we'd have to be concerned that it wasn't read properly. So these eights that we're giving, again, the cases we gave eights for, whereas Ula said that they did it in front of Rav Elazar, he was telling it to Rav Yehuda, we're talking about giants, talking about Gedalim, so for them, it could work. Obviously, with the right person reading it, that's also Chashev, it could work. But otherwise, we're saying that, qualifying that it wouldn't work with Stam, a regular person. Rav Papa, a Persian star, came in front of him, which was done in the Kusi, in the Geisha courts. It was a star written in Persian in the Geisha courts. Mark Lushnei Kusim, he'd have two Kusim write, read the document in front of him. He'd have them read it, not in the presence of each other, so they're not in cahoots. Clearly, they're reading it on their own. And he'd make sure, Masechet Tumah, they were reading it, he'd come up with a device, a method to get them to read it, where they don't appreciate that they're reading it is actually having halachic ramifications, having ramifications in din. They just think they're, you know, casually reading a document. So you have them read it, Masechet Tumah, and that one in front of the other. And once they read it and it confirmed that both of them read the same exact description in the shtar, he would say it's a kosher shtar, and he would allow the person to collect from even mishu badim. Avashi Amali Ravuna Barnasan Hacha Memer Hai Shtar Parsai. This shtar Parsai the Chazim Elai Sali Yisrael. This Persian shtar that has on it signatures of Yidden, Magbian Be Mishabdi. Again, you can collect from mishu badim. Similar idea. You can collect from mishu badim on this Persian shtar. You know, it's written in Persian when Yidden are the Edom. Ask the bar 1 second. The Edom are Yidden, they presuming don't speak Persian. So how is the signatures worth anything? They don't even know what they signed on. They don't know how to read Persian. The Yadim are answers. We're talking about where they know how to read Persian, and therefore the Shah is kosher because these are Edom signing on Persian Shah that they are able to understand what it says. Fabina Ksav Shainech Lazayev Faleka, Bakhar you need it to be Ksavish can't be forged, and the Sabish was a star being written in Persian on a regular document. The document was not treated to prevent it from being able to be forged. More answers. Yes, it was. But that feeds him. This I was saying it's a kosher shtar. It's not my case. But feeds him where it was treated with golden juice. We put that before. Golden juice was one of the eights that's used to render the shtar non-mezuyif, not forgeable. You need to review the union of the shtar in the last line. The typical shtar needs to review the last line in the end of the shtar. And this doesn't, the presumption is it was done in a Persian courts. It wouldn't have it. And where it says, we do have it. But they did review it in the end of the document. The Elamai Kamashma. But you have it, kosher Edom, who could read Persian. The paper is treated and it was chazer in the last line. So what is the Chiddush? The Cholash and Kasher, what's your Chiddush? That any language for writing a shtar is Kasher, Tanina. We learned it in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah coming up in the Pezayan Amabez in Gittin over here. Get your Kasher, Ivris, Fade of Yvonis, Yvonis, Fade of Ivris, Kasher. I get written in Hebrew and the Edom are Greek. or it was written in Greek, and the Edom are in Hebrew. Either way, it's kosher. You could be writing in all languages. So what's the chiddush over here? That's a good shtar, and it's used to collect from the Mishabadim. Why wouldn't it be a good shtar? We have a raise from later in the Mishnah that any language is kosher. That's more imahi having hanimi be gittin. We spoke out just a couple lines ago that gittin is reason to be makel because of agunas. Maybe dafkla be gittin. Avashar shtar is loy. We don't allow any language foreign language to be kosher. Kamashmol that yes, even the gabe other documents as well. A foreign language is kosher. Amar Shmuel, Nasr la niyar chalik. If a husband gave his wife a blank piece of paper, v'yamal ancestor, raise a gittuch, this is your get. He gave her a blank piece of paper and said, this is your get. What's that? Lachem migrashes. She's divorced. Says Gemara, Chashina, the Gemara right now thinks, I mean, when I say the Gemara thinks, you're going to understand clearly the Gemara's ultimate outcome, but the Gemara thinks right now, it means it's 100% a good get. Not just that, you have to worry that she's divorced, because you find very often in Gittin that she's migrashes, misafik, she's asatar kayan, if her husband's a kayan, she's got to get away from him now, it's like a suffic get. Here, at this point, the Gemara assumes this means it's a real get. Because the husband gave her a piece of paper, and he said, this is your get. So we assume it's some it's a real get. I wear the letters. Chashin Hashem Meimilin Kasvay. It was written in Meimilin with golden juice, and now it's no longer discernible. But the paper she received was an actual get, and therefore she's divorced. Meisvei Harizik Gidach. The Maris Kash from a Brisa. Harizik Gidach and the Taltav Zak Liam. A guy says, "Well, this you get," and he picks it up and he throws the get into the water. Obviously, there's some sort of way that she made a kinyan in the first. Ilar El Chodavra Avad. Where he throws the fire, any manner that's going to destroy it. V'chazav amar, and then after he tells his wife, shtar pasimu. You know the get that I gave you? It was really shtar pasim, shtar manu. It wasn't really a get. It wasn't really a proper get. Shtar pasim is a shtar that just shows that someone is owed money. It's in order that he should be able to show, it's a fake shtar. He's not really owed the money. It's just in order to be able to show, like, some net worth, some assets. So he's showing he has money in the bank account. Back then, the way to do that would be to show he has an IOU for someone that he's owed a lot of money. Or shtar mana. A similar idea that someone has a shtar that says Reuven owes him money is because Reuven trusts this guy to hold the shtar in the event that Reuven's going to lend the money down, in the event he's going to lend Reuven money down the road. So you want to have a shtar written already. So Reuven already gives the shtar, called the shtar of faith, to this guy with faith that he's not going to use and collect it till the money's actually lent. So the money wasn't lent yet. The money was lent, but the shtar is written. So the husband tells the wife, the shtar that I gave you, it was not a get. It was a shtar of mana, a shtar of pasim. It wasn't a get. What's that lacha? Migureshas, the wife is divorced. The husband can't go and Asra can't go and take away the validity of that get. Okay, what's the kasha? He's saying it. Shmuel said it gets kasher. Here's saying it's kasher. Umar explains. Time of the ksav. The reason why over there, when he takes the get, throws into the yam in the fire in the water and it gets destroyed. The reason why we say it's a good get is because there was ksiva on it. And therefore, he has no right to say that what he gave her, and he gave her Bitar's get, wasn't really get. She's believed to be divorced. Ha, like ksav, but over here in our case, there wasn't ksav b'chlal. It sounds like, or the Gemara is saying, ha, like ksav, in a case where there wouldn't be ksav loy, it wouldn't be good, be medayik, only because the ksav is a good. If there wouldn't be ksav, it wouldn't be good. So what's Pratt and Shmuel's halacha? That with any ksav, it's good. Kikam Shmuel, more answers. What does Shmuel say? To batkina li b'mayit denara. Shmuel says, but I'm talking about a case where you tested it with the certain, like a dye, certain type of dye, that when you put the dye on it, it shows up that letters were there. You apply the dye, and the dye brings out the ink that had been absorbed. And therefore, some say it's like this dye is extracted from pomegranate, it's like a reddish, purplish dye. Okay, but the point is, over there, if the letters resurface, the taka resurfaces, and we say it's a get. If it doesn't resurface, then it's not going to be a get. Who cares if it resurfaces now? When he gave her a piece of paper, it was written in gold that she was to get, it totally disappeared. He gave her a paper that had nothing on it. That's not a good get. Right now, the letters came back out, but it wasn't there. B'shas, and he says, again, why is that good? The Gemara says, you're right. Shmuel Nami, Chashinu Kama. Shmuel didn't say that it's a good get, 100% foolproof, it's a good get. Shmuel said, you have to worry that it's a good get. He meant to say, Megureshes, Mesafik, you have to be concerned that it's a good get, not that it is 100% foolproof, a good get. Let's quickly start the next Gemara. It'll carry on. Let's start it. Amar La Ravina. Amar La Meimar. Amar said to me, Amar La Meimar, Meshay Dorav Dimi. Hani Beitre Diav Gita Kamayo. These two Edom, with that, who in front of them a husband gave a get, tzrich lemikri, they're required to read the get before it is given to the isha to determine that it was a proper get. What's the obvious question for the Bryce we just quoted? If a guy says, "Well, this is your get," and he takes it, throws it to the yam, or into fire, or into any manner of destroying this shtar. He comes there and says, "No, shtar pas shtar mana. It wasn't really a get." And they obviously they hadn't read it till now. So Migrashas, he's still divorced. Like a man of life, so we don't say he has the power to ask her. We don't trust him to ask her. V'yametzich l'mikri. But if you say, like a Meir Paskin, that the Edom that are present have to read the get, so what's the shaili? How could he claim it was something else? How on earth could the Baal make such a claim? You don't have to say that he's not believed that it's a good get. Of course he's not believed. If Edom read it before it was given to determine that it was a good get. The case was that after the Edom read the get, that Ataka was a get, he took it, put it back in his sleeve, Vafke, and then he took it back out of his sleeve and put it out. He put it, like, put it in modern day equipment, he stuck the star in his jacket pocket, and then he took it back out. And we're concerned that maybe he took out a different piece of paper. The Bustakari, Eilid Beyadi, put it into his sleeve, Afghan took it out, Malatim, Khalifa Khalfi. I would have thought that we have to be concerned. They switched it for another one, and that's why he's saying the second one was not a get. Kamashman, then we're not concerned. Story time. Hu Gavra, Tizark, Lakitla, Tizau. There's a fellow who threw a get to his wife, Leveni Dani, between some jars. He threw a get to his wife, it landed in her domain, that's the key point, in her domain, amongst some jars. Ishtaka Mezuzah, she found a mezuzah there, not the get. It's not common to have mezuzahs in between, stored in between your jars, and therefore you can assume that this exact paper is the paper the husband threw her, and it was not a get, it was a mezuzah, and she will not be divorced. The flip side would have been, husband says he threw her a get, he threw her a get, and somehow some achbar, someone took the get away, and this happens to be just a totally separate item. But the fact that mezuzahs aren't common there, we say that this is what the husband threw, and it wasn't a get. That's only if you found only one mezuzah. Aval, beis gimel, we found two or three mezuzahs. Now, the husband only threw one paper. And there's already found two or three mezuzahs. Midah Havi, for the fact that these the other mezuzahs were present here. So we say, Hainami Havi, this mezuzah that you found between the jars, we're saying also was there from before, is not what the husband threw her. And the Gita, Emach Baruchak. We assume that the husband did throw a proper get, unless otherwise noted. And we say, maybe, why can't she fight the get itself? We went into her shus, she's divorced, but she can't fight it because Achbarim came, critters came and took it away, but there was a good get. Last Gemara, last story, Gavra, Dal Beknishta, there was a fellow who went into Beis Knesses, Shaka Sefer Torah, he went into Beis Knesses, he took a Sefer Torah, and he gave his wife the Sefer Torah from him, and he said to her, Hagidach, this Sefer Torah is your get. Amar Beisif, Lamai Nechash, what should we be concerned for? Imeshem Emilin, what are you concerned for, meaning that this get should be kosher? If your concern is that the husband took golnut juice, and he wrote it on the back of the parchment, on the other side, he wrote it, and you just can't see it, meaning like the Gemara earlier, that he really wrote his wife a get. It was just done with golnut juice, and therefore it's not noticeable. And that's like the case before, where Shmuel says, right at the beginning of the Gemara, where a person gave her a blank paper and said, this is your get. We have to be cheshish, that at least we came out that means cheshish, and she's divorced because the get was written there. Well, says the Gemara, over here, it wouldn't be anything. It wouldn't even be a cheshash, because the reason why it's not nicker, if it is written, is it's meimilin, well, Sefer Torah is treated with Meimilin, it's treated with golnut juice anyway, and Meimilin top Meimilin is nothing, so it's certainly not a good get in that case. Imashim top of Chafam Adolf, Imashim Krisas, Tispa, Elamai, you're concerned about, not that there was a get written on the back side of the parchment, but the words that the Pasuk in the Torah, in Kisetze, where it writes over there, the Lashon of Krisas, the Kasav of Sefer Krisas, Haba'ina, Kasavla, you need the Kasavla, the Shema's got to be written for the Shema, like it wasn't written for the Shema. Chiteima, maybe Leichash, you should be Chesh, Dilma, Akhtim, Yav, Lazuz, the Safra, Meikara, that maybe he gave money to the Sefer before he read the Sefer Torah, and he said, write this in mind for me, for my wife, forget. Yeah, but you need Haba'in and Shina, Shema, Yishma, Shemi, Shemi, you need it to be personalized. It has to have his name, her name, his city, her city. That's certainly not in the Sefer Torah, Vileka, that's really not there. So the Mar says, Rabbeisim, my Kamashmalan, so if that's the case, so he's saying, if he gives the Sefer Torah, it's not a good get. So Rabbeisim explains, what's there to be chayshish for? There's no reason to assume there's anything kosher about it. Therefore, it's not a get. The Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Isn't everything he spoke at obvious? Says the Gemara, the chiddush was that first line, that the main chashash would have been that maybe it was written in golnut juice on the back side of the parchment, and it just simply wasn't noticeable. But for that to be, it would have to be written in golnut juice. And basically, it was being mechadish. Don't think that works, because over there, we don't have to even worry about that, because it would be golnut juice on top of a golnut juice treatment to the parchment, and therefore it's vayter, not exceed v'chal. That was the point of Rebbe's chiddush. The rest he just spoke out, even though it was fairly obvious, but that was the point of his chiddush. We'll pause over here and pick it up in Beit Hashem tomorrow again with the din of Lishma, more about Lishma. Have a wonderful day.